We're in Parashat HaChemot. We're going to learn from the Noam Elimelech. First Ma'amar. The line starts with Acharei, of course. And the Parasha is talking about the death of the sons of Aharon HaKohen. Very interestingly, we read about the death 2 weeks ago. We skipped two Parashot. I mean, it happens to be that last week we read two Parashot. But if we wouldn't read Tazri and Metzora together, it would be a gap of three Parashot that it's talking about the death of the sons of Aharon HaKohen. We read that in Parashat Shmini. But now the Torah is talking about after the death of the sons of Aharon HaKohen, Nadav and Avihu. And he starts by saying, Nira'a Lazbir al Derech HaRemez. We're going to explain on the Roved, on the level of Remez of the Torah, what the Torah is trying to tell me. The Pshat is that the boys of Aharon, the sons of Aharon, just died. Different opinions, why they did it, why they died. And he wants to explain to us based on the remez of the Torah. Dehine ha-tzadik me'apech hadin lerachamim. The tzadik has the ability to transform the din, the judgment, into mercy, into rachamim. Ra'af im nigzar al adam mita chalila. Even if a person, there's a decree from Shemaim for death, a person can do a severe sin, and there's going to be a decree from Shemaim, mita bidei Shemaim, death by the heavenly courts. יכול לבטל הגזירה ולהפכו לחיים. The tzaddik is able to transform it and annul the gzera, the decree, from death to life. והסיבה לזאת, what's the reason for that? שכוח ביד הצדיק לעשות כן ומחמת שהצדיק עולה בתפילתו בעולמות עליונים. The reason why a tzaddik can do such a thing is because while the tzaddik is praying, he's able to go and ascend higher from one world to another, and to go to very high and supreme worlds. Asher sham kulo rachamim. The worlds above are just rachamim. There's no din in the world above. That's what's happening on Shabbat. On Shabbat, all the worlds, they go up to their source. They ascend to a higher level, to the level where there's no din there. There's only rachamim. That's why there's no din on Shabbat. And it's affecting us by we don't say tachanun and many other additions. But on Shabbat, there's no dinim. They close Genom. They put, you know, that sign that they put like this, closed. We'll be back on Sunday. So there's no dinim on Shabbat. Why? Because all the worlds are elevated to a much higher madriga, a much higher level. And there's only rachamim there. There's only mercy. Belot ha'arovot din klal. There's no mixture of din at all. ושם לא נגזר אותה גזרה. If you're looking for your book, Shlomo, there's some books over here, and there's some books over here. Maybe on Shabbat it was moved. There's a Noam Elimelech right over here. Maybe that's yours. No, on Shabbat they move a little bit the books. So, in that level, in that world where there's only rachamim, there's no mixtures of din, of gvura, of judgment, v'sham lo nigzar ota gzera, and that decree doesn't exist over there. This is kind of equivalent to what's happening on Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, what happens? The entire creation is elevated to a very high level. That's why it says on Yom Kippur, lifanaiti taharo, in front of me, you're going to reach to a place of purity. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu elevates us above the level of where the sin exists. And therefore, the sin doesn't exist over there, so it's able to be removed from our neshama, from our existence. During the year, then we are in a much lower realm, so we are affected by our own actions. But if Hashem wants to give atonement to our soul, then He will elevate that soul to a much greater level where the din doesn't exist there. And therefore, the person can reach an atonement. Same thing here. The tzaddik is able to ascend to a higher world where the good din doesn't exist, the judgment doesn't exist. Umisham mamshich chayim lo to adam. So he's able to bring life to that person. A real tzaddik is able to do such a thing not only during through prayer. A tzaddik is able to switch a gzera whenever he wants. We know very famous, it says, tzaddik gozer, kadosh b'chu mekayem. Tzaddik says something, the kadosh b'chu has to do it. The tzaddik has the ability to do such a thing. There's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov. We spoke about it many times. I actually, I think, told that story, I think, a few days ago. That Baal Shem Tov used to travel a lot. And in one of his travels on the way to Eretz Israel, he stopped in Turkey. It was Erev Pesach, and they didn't have any plans, they didn't have matzahs, they didn't have anything. And there's more, Asher, there's more milk in the kitchen if you want. There's more milk in the kitchen. Is that good? Okay. So the Baal Shem Tov didn't have any plans, didn't have any matzahs, didn't have anything. And there was a certain individual that was dreaming to meet the Baal Shem Tov, and he heard that the Baal Shem Tov is in town. He found his daughter somehow, which of course he invited them to Pesach. He says, don't worry, you'll stay with me the whole week. I have matzot, I have food, I have meat, I have wine, everything is kosher. And of course he wanted to meet the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov had a Magid. A Magid is an angel that some individual, some tzaddikim they have, and the angel just whispers in the ear what's going to happen. This person is about to approach you, that person has a question about so and so. So, same thing the Baal Shem Tov had. When he approached to this individual, the individual walked into the room, he didn't even say anything, right away the Baal Shem Tov told him, you're going to have a baby boy this year. And of course the person was very happy, that's what he wanted to get a blessing, to get a child. And as this is happening, a heavenly voice comes out and says to the Baal Shem Tov, you have just lost your entire world to come, your entire Olam Haba. Why? Because the heavenly court said this individual, there was a gzirah, there was a decree that this individual should not have any boys. And you just gave him a blessing, you just say you will have a boy this year, and you went against the decree, the gzirah in Shamayim, therefore you lost your entire Olam Haba. So the Baal Shem Tov started dancing. If you thought today, this morning you saw dancing, that was nothing compared to the dancing the Baal Shem Tov did. Some of you looking at me like, what dancing? So we had here a very musical hallel this morning. Some of us were dancing. But nevertheless, this is nothing compared to the dancing the Baal Shem Tov started dancing. So right away it came up a question, why are you dancing? You just got a notification that you lost your entire Olam Haba. He's like, well, now I finally can serve Hashem with no agenda, with no almenat lekabel pras, not to get a reward here. Now I can serve Hashem 100% for the sake of serving Hashem, because I don't have Olam Haba. So right away, the same heavenly voice came out and says, just because that was your attitude, you'll get a double portion in your Olam Haba. But the point is that we see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to agree with what the tzaddik says. In this particular case, Baal Shem Tov says, yeah, he's going to have a boy, that's it. The whole heavenly realm has to stand and say, okay, the tzaddik says, he's going to have a child. Same thing here, the tzaddik is able to change a gzerah in the world above. Now, many times we have explained that Noam Elimelech, he refers to us as tzaddikim. He will say constantly often, tzaddik, tzaddik, but he's looking at us, he's referring to us. Don't forget, the Noam Elimelech is a good friend of Levi Yitzchak von Berdichev. Then the Levi Yitzchak von Berdichev, the senegor, the defense attorney of Am Yisrael. Yeah. So, same yeshiva, same bench, same rebbe. So they have both the same approach. That v'amech kulam tzadikim. Everybody has the potential of a tzadik. You do tshuva, you'll be a tzadik. So when he says that, he's basically hinting to us, through prayer, anything can change. You can change your entire existence through prayer. And through prayer, you can elevate your own prayer. You can elevate yourself to such a high level in the world above that a decree can change. So here he's saying that when the person, the tzaddik, goes to that level where the decree, the din doesn't exist, u'misham mamshich chayim lo to adam, and he changes the decree and brings life to that person. Zehu sason v'simcha yasigu. This is when the verse is referring to happiness and joy they will receive. רוצה לומר שהצדיקים משיגים לעולמות אלונים אשר שם ססון ושמחה. Prayer can take you to a level, to such a high level, such a high world, where you reach the ultimate happiness and joy. As it says, כמו שאמר הכתוב, it says in the scripts, עוז וחדווה במקומו. עוז is might, חדווה is maybe grace can translated bimkomo, in his place. Umimela nasogu yagon v'anacha. And by default, when you reach to that level, any type of hardship or suffering or anything that is unpleasant, it disappears. וזהו גם כן ויוציא עמו וששון ברינה את בחיריו. This is another, he's quoting another verse, and he says he will take out his nation in joy and happiness, which is a hint לדברנו שמוציא את עמו ומביאים לעולם הששון. It's a hint that when a person prays, he can take himself out of his own existence. ואז ברינה את בחיריו, and with joy and happiness, he takes out his nation, meaning, אז מביא רינה לישראל בחיריו. When a person reaches to that level, he's able to reach to the ultimate simcha, the ultimate rina, is like dancing and joy. וזהו אחרי מות שני בני אהרון. This is the hint when we're reading about the death, after the death of the sons of Aaron. One can say it was a very hard time. Just two Kohanim, the sons of Aaron HaKohen, the time of the inauguration, the first time they're putting offering sacrifices, and such a tragedy happens. What is he trying to tell? He wants to say that there is power in the hand of the tzaddik who after death, that is, to destroy. He's basically giving us an unbelievable hint here that it says acharei mot. Acharei is after, and mot is death. He's saying here that we think that death is final, that after you die, that's it. But he's basically saying there is a acharei after the death. After you die, this is just the beginning. There's something waiting after there. More than that, he can say that the death can be annulled. Klomar levatel hamita meze adam. A person can chas v'shalom be now under the chas v'shalom, a severe ruling from the heavenly court that should experience death. But nevertheless, that can be annulled. כמו שאומרים בני אדם על דבר הנתבטל, אומרים שכבר אחר הדבר ראו שלא יהיה עוד. As we have a nature to say that after something passes, that we shouldn't experience this anymore. But basically saying, in other words, that any decree that chas v'shalom will happen over a man, everything can be annulled. Even death, because there are many sins that we do, that the halachic term to it is mita b'dei shamayim, death by the heavenly court. If a person does that, then he's subject to death. And many individuals can actually shorten their life because of that. But even so, I mean, if a person desecrates Shabbat, this is a death by the heavenly court. It has to be put to death. Now, in our generation, we don't have a Sanhedrin. To the lack of many, if not, that person would have to be put to death. In our generation, somebody once gave me, I heard it from a very very great man, a big tzaddik, I believe one of the 36 tzaddikim, but he's very humble and you're never going to think about it. But I heard him saying like a kederach agav, like between the words, that even in our generation, people are judged to mita b'dei shamayim. Now, when a person desecrates Shabbat, there are four types of deaths by the heavenly court. One of them is skila. Skila is stoning. And he said that in our generation, the death by the heavenly court is like a car accident. A lot of people die from car accidents. There's actually much more, a higher toll death from car accidents than anything else, especially in Israel. And a car accident, when the car gets, you know, shaking the person, it's like the body's being stoned. And many people die from car accidents. And I don't know how much it is in the world. In Israel, the death toll in the car accidents is not normal. Kama v'kama, much more than terror attacks and wars and diseases. Every weekend, there's dozens of people, they die in car accidents. I mean, besides that, the Israelis drive like Michigan is, but nevertheless, there's a very high death toll. And he said it like between the lines. That's what I was understanding from him, that a person dies in a car accident, it's like mita b'dei shamayim, because the person gets hit from different directions. Because if the car rolls over or something hits the car, and this is equivalent to skila. I mean, some people die, b'chenek, you know, hereg, whatever it is. But nevertheless, A person can be subject to death by the heavenly courts. We don't even know what's the decree hovering over us right now. בכל יום אדם נידון מן השמיים. Every second a person is being judged. Person now can do a severe sin and he's judged right on this moment. And maybe they didn't do execution yet, but the judgment is still there. And then the person can do tshuva and remove the judgment. So he's basically saying, don't lose hope, because even from a decree of death, one can change it. And he continues, he says, "V'amar ha-ketuv al yedei davar ma yuchal ha-tzadik levatel." How can a person annul the decree of death by the heavenly court? How can you do that? ומפרש, he explains, בקורבתם לפני השם, by coming closer to Hashem. Nadav and Avihu, some commentary said that they offered a foreign fire. They brought fire from outside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, new fire. Some say that they died because they went in drunk. They had too much wine, and they went in not 100% clear. Another interpretation says that they were teaching halakha in front of their Rebbe, in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a disrespect for their Rav. So many, and nevertheless, there's a difference of interpretations why they really died, which of course is also interpretation that they died because they just wanted to be close to Hashem. They didn't want to be part of this world. They just wanted to be attached to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's called Klot HaNefesh. They were so overwhelmed with Kedusha, they just wanted to be attached to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't even care about anything. But nevertheless, the action that they did is Bekorvatam Lifnei Hashem. They approached closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was aware that you're not allowed to get too close. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the burning bush, he took a step back. He says, let me step back a little bit. I can't be too close to the Kedusha. But nevertheless, he explains, how can a person annul the decree? Bekorvatam lifnei Hashem, that you come closer to Hashem. What does that mean? We don't want to start lighting all sorts of foreign fires here and all sorts of incense. This is not what he's saying. Rather, he's saying, al yedei shemitkarvim lifnei Hashem la'olamot ha'elyonim, that you get closer to Hashem by ascending from one world to another world. We're right now in the world of Asiya. When we start praying, Shacharit, of course, then we are in the world of Asiya. So what we read is Korbanot. We read things that has to do with this world. Then we start ascending to a higher world, the world of Yetzirah. We start reading Pesukei Dezimra. Then when we reach to Birkot Shema, then we already reach to the world of Bria. Amen. We reach to the world of Bria. We're reading the blessings of Kriyat Shema, including Kriyat Shema. Once we reach to Tfilat Shmona Esre, then we're already entering the realms of Olam Atzilut. If the prayer is done the right way, that's what happens. A lot of people maybe don't get to do that, but in essence, if a person really applies themselves, wakes up early in the morning, goes to the mikveh, says everything with the right intention, and accepts on themselves, like the Ari HaKadosh teaches us, the Ari says, you start your day by saying, Hareni mekabel alai mitzvat aseh, shel ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. Go here down to his grave, you'll see that it's what it says right next to his grave, and in all his sidurim and all his teaching, the Ari HaKadosh constantly said, you, any type of Ruach HaKodesh, any type of Kedusha, any type of holiness you want to achieve or receive, is only if you know how to apply the positive mitzvah of Ahavta L'Racha Kamocha. You should love another fellow person like yourself. If you don't have Ahavat Yisrael, nothing's going to work. It's like trying to run the device without a battery. So when you start the day the right way, and you apply all the teachings that we know about praying, you are able to climb from one world to another world to another world. And yeah, then you reach to the peak, to the world of Atzilut, while you're praying Shmona Esre. And needless to say, what a powerful time is the prayer. So it's not something that should be neglected. It should definitely not should be something that you push over to the end of the day. Some people, they wait for late hours of the day to pray. It's a very bad habit. And I know some people give excuses. I learned before that. Okay, you can learn some for 5 to 6. Don't have to. You're not in the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that you're learning till 11 in the morning is learning. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was exempt from praying even, because his learning is in a very high level. So if you're not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, last that I check, nobody here is in that level. Pray early in the morning. You want to learn before prayer? I also learn before I pray. Half an hour, so wake up a little bit early. To pray at 11 o'clock in the morning is a little bit of a, it's past the point. So there's a Zman Tfilah. The Torah teaches us there was a limit when you can pray. After that, your prayer is considered, I don't even know how to say it in English. It's what's called Tfilah Meguna. It's not nice. So not only that, a person wants to take advantage of the opportunity. When a person prays the right way and elevates himself the right way, then he's ascending from one world to another world to another world. By default, his neshama is closer to Hashem. That's how you do bekorvotam lifnei Hashem, when you become closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do you get closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu? You ascend in the worlds. Now the verse says, Vayamutu. But look what happened. They became closer to Hashem and they died. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to die. I mean, some people do want to die, but I don't want to die. I want to fulfill my time here. So he's trying to say, in other words, רוצה לומר, הרי הוא כאילו נתקיים הדין של המיטה, ובאמת נמשך להם חיים על ידי הצדיק. The reason why it says and they died is when the person ascends to such a high level, then it's like as if he died. They take the decree and they said, yes, it's like as if we apply it. And then the person loses the decree of death. And needless to say, what is being pulled on them is chaim, is life. So basically saying in very short words, the power of prayer. I don't think a lot of people really understand the power of prayer. Sometimes a person will approach a tzaddik or a big rabbi, I have an issue with this, with that. The rabbi will tell him, pray. Oh, I've been praying already for 2 months. It didn't work. What do you mean it didn't work? If it didn't work, then it means you didn't pray well. So Rabbi Nachman from Breslov says, if something is lacking in your life, either you didn't pray enough for it, or then you, first of all, you might not deserve it, but maybe probably just didn't pray enough for it, or you didn't pray the right way. So there are, of course, situations when something is not supposed to happen, and it doesn't matter how much you're going to pray. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu, prayed 515 prayers to get into Eretz Israel. But nevertheless, most of the decrees that we bring on ourselves can be annulled with prayer. And prayer is a very powerful part of the day. Besides, you know, if you're looking bechlal at our observance of the Torah, one of the most dominating parts of our service is prayer. 3 times a day, when we eat, we pray. Before you go to sleep, you pray. Today is Rosh Chodesh, we added more praise. Constantly we pray and we pray. This is our major part in our service to Hashem. So what we want to learn from that is not necessarily that I have the ability to annul a decree, a gzerah. Rather, how powerful a prayer is and what a prayer can do by ascending to higher worlds. And anything that happens, here we're talking about a decree of death, but sometimes it can be a decree of loss of money, and decree of chas v'shalom, a hardship, or a medical issue, or whatever it is. Basically saying, in other words, prayer can change the entire existence of the world. And what we want to take from that is how important it is, the moments of the prayer, is to make sure that I show up, that I pray in a minyan, when you can, of course, not when you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no minyan. And to put emphasis on your prayer, find a place where you're comfortable to pray, make sure you pray slow. I never understood how people pray fast. This is something that drove me insane when I became observant. Every shul that I went to was like a marathon. And I became observant in America. So I came with my mother tongue is Hebrew. And I would go to shuls with people that are Americans, that their mother tongue is English, and they would pray faster than I could speak. And I don't understand how can, I'm Israeli and I can't speak so fast. How can you pray so fast? I can't even pronounce the word so fast. And it used to completely bother me till I found one place. They prayed slow, and I was like, wow, I can actually say the words here, and I'm not going to be rushed. That before I even put my tefillin on there, they're already finishing Baruch Hu. So you want to find the place where you can actually pray and it's not a marathon, and you know what? So if it will take you another 20 minutes. I always give the same example. And not too long ago, I was in Los Angeles on a tour of lectures, and one of the a lady approached me. We usually, when I go on the tours, then at night, in the morning and night, there are lectures, and in the middle of the day, I meet people. So this lady comes and she tells me, I have a business, I work in real estate, and I want you to give me a blessing for Parnassa. So, and of course she came with the famous quote, when I make a lot of money, I'll donate a lot to your yeshiva. So it's always in the hypothetical level. When I make, so nevertheless, I told her, you don't have to donate. I'll give you a blessing, but I'll tell you what to do. Me giving you a blessing, it's pointless if you don't do an action. She was like, okay, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. So I told her, I want you to say every day, Birkat Hamazon. Birkat Hamazon? That's very long. So I know it's not. It takes 10 minutes. I want you to wash your hands for bread and say Birkat Hamazon, bench. No, that's, don't you have something faster? So this is, I didn't tell you to pray Shacharit. I told you to pray, wash your hands, eat bread. Anyways, you're eating breakfast, no? And say Birkat Hamazon. It will take you 10 minutes. And if you read really slow, it will take you 15 minutes. No, I can't. It's too long for me. So I told her, I don't understand. You want a blessing in your parnasa, no? So you're not willing to give 15 minutes out of your day to Hashem to get some type of a blessing to your parnasa, to open an abundance of a shefa? And she was like, no, it's too long and this and that. And I told her, listen, you live in LA, right? I used to live in LA. I think this is the city that has the most traffic in the world. You want to go from here to the convenience store, you're 2 hours in traffic. I never seen anything like this. Everything, this whole city's traffic. So I told her, so must be that you are wasting at least 2 hours a day in traffic. You're going and showing houses, right? You're in real estate. And you drive from the office to the house, from the house to another property. You're probably at least 2 hours a day in traffic. So I guarantee to you that if you pray in the morning, Birkat Hamazon, then you're going to be less 15 minutes in traffic every day. And she wouldn't accept. I don't understand. What do you think? You want a hocus pocus here for blessing for Parnassa? You're not willing to do a little bit of a sacrifice? I didn't tell you to climb the Himalaya. I told you to say Birkat Hamazon. It takes 10 minutes. So most people don't understand that we all want parnasa, we want health, we want to have healthy kids, we want to have kids, we want to have a wife, we want to have success, all these good things. Hashem says, I'm not asking much, I just come and do a little effort. And that effort is that I'm asking from you is prayer. You know, when we read Kriyat Shema, what do we say? Le'avdo bechol levavchem. That we have to serve Hashem, but it says the word le'avdo, to work for Him with all your heart. Our sages say, what is the avodah shebalev? What is the work of the heart? That's prayer. That's tefillah. So our entire existence in the world of Judaism is around prayer. So we pray three times a day. We say also Birkat Hamazon, a fourth prayer. We say Kriyat Shema Lamita, a fifth prayer. Your agenda is to add prayers, not to remove prayers. So here is giving us a great tip that the idea behind the death of Nadav and Avihu is that they wanted to get closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And how did they do that? They did it maybe the wrong way. But we can get also close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I pray, I approach close to Hashem. Why do we walk three steps back? We walk three steps back for showing respect and honor. But you walk three steps forward. Technically, one would say, okay, so walk three steps back and stay there, and then start your prayer. So we walk three steps back before we pray Shemona Esrei, like in front of a king. You remove yourself a little bit back. The reason why I come see three steps forward is now I'm ready to approach and to ascend and to go closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And every word that I say, it's a step. Another word, another step. Another word, another step. Till I stand bekorvatam lifnei Hashem. I'm standing in front of Hashem. That's when Hashem can wash the neshama from all the dirt, all the shmutz. Give the neshama the blessing, the shefa, the abundance. So we want to apply that. If I'm learning and nothing happens, then I miss the point. The point is that we all, We shouldn't do anything with an agenda, but we do have an agenda. I want to have success in my business. I want to have parnasa. I want to have yirat shamayim. Some people, their wishes are great. They don't ask for parnasa and their wealth. They ask for yirat shamayim, God-fearing. They ask for midot tovot. That's what you should ask when you're going to a tzaddik. You go to graves. Today is the yahrzeit of Rabbi Chaim Vital. We're going to light some candles soon. Mezrat Hashem, we can pray. Pray for midot tovot. Pray to overpower Yetzer Hara. Pray to have Yirat Shamayim. Pray to have Ahavat Hashem. Love for Hashem. Love for other people. Don't pray for money. Money is going to come either way. Whatever you're going to do, it's going to come exactly what needs to come. So we want to be God-fearing Jews. That's our existence is about coming closer to Hashem. And needless to say, that any type of decree, when I reach to very high levels in the spiritual worlds, that's when the decrees get removed. So today is a very auspicious time to take on ourselves these decisions, because it's Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is the day that everything is included in the Chodesh. Needless to say that Rosh Chodesh is Zman Kaparatchem. We just prayed now Tfilat Musaf. Read the words. To read the words, I mean, the Tfilat Musaf is Keneged Korban Musaf. It's because they used to do a sacrifice called Musaf. But read the text, what our sages from Knesset Nashe Knesset Agdola wrote. This is Zman Kaparatchem. It's a Zman for atonement. It's a day for removal of the sins, removal of all the dirt on the Neshama, and receive atonement. Needless to say, we want to take an auspicious time. When it's an auspicious time, it's a good time to say, okay, I'm going to make a good decision. And my decision will be that I'm going to take my prayers more serious. If I'm already praying three times a day, then it should be with more kavanah, with more intention. I'm going to come 10 minutes earlier. I'm going to make sure that I pronounce the word slower, so the prayer will take me another 10 minutes. I'm going to make sure that I add as much as I can. If you don't pray three times a day, then that's the right time to start. If you don't pray naminyan, start praying with naminyan. You pray already three times a day and you pray slow, so start doing every day Birkat Hamazon and Kriyat Shema Lamita. And every time that you have an opportunity to say a prayer, you know that some people, they have the opportunity to add another prayer every day when they commute to work. They can say Tfilat HaDerech. That's a prayer. You sign with the name of Hashem, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. So, it's another prayer. Whenever you can squeeze in another prayer, why wouldn't you do that? Yesterday, Chas V'Shalom, I don't want to arouse any dinim on anybody. Yesterday, I announced out loud after Tfilat Mincha, whoever didn't say Birkat HaVilanot, it's still Nisan. You can still hit it in a good time. And I was shocked to see that half the people went out. I was happy to see that people actually went and did it. Half the people went out. Why did you wait 30 days? Why didn't you know in the first moment that you could? Okay, 2 days after, 3 days after, you have an opportunity to say a blessing, to come closer to Hashem. Why are you waiting for the last moment? So we have to see how lucky we are. We have to say every day, Ashrenu Matov Chelkenu, because we got the opportunity to come closer to Hashem. This is a merit. It's a merit, it's an honor. So practically, we want to apply things that we learn, is that we have to increase in the level of how we pray, how we approach Hashem. That our words are clear, that we have kavanah, that you learn the meaning behind the words. If you don't know the words, learn them. And everything else, you want to make sure that you are involved in the prayer with all your heart, with all your might. And needless to say that brings on us this ultimate blessing from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And needless to say that with our prayers, we pray every day, three times a day, V'techezena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion v'rachamim, that we should see with our own eyes the return of the Shekhinah to Yerushalayim. Mezad Hashem, it should happen ברחמים, בחסד ורחמים. רבי חננה בן הקשה מרצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לזכות את ישראל, לפיכך הרבה להם תורה ומצוות, שנאמר אדוני חפץ למען צדקו, יגדיל תורה ויאדיר.